Because the name of God as the all-sufficient God was so real to him. You know, sorry, you know, sometimes I am a controversial preacher, I know, because I say things that other people say the other way around. When Abraham went to fight the kings of Sodom, and he returned with all the goods. Now, notice something. And the Bible said he gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. And people say that there's a principle that he was connecting with something. Please, pardon me to differ, all right? Allow me again to differ. I often do on such things. I don't believe it. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. Say, do what Abraham did. You don't want to do it, though. Because after giving Melchizedek 10%, what happened to the 90%? He gave the king of Sodom. Go and return your salary to your boss. Then I know you are following Abraham. This one that you part with protection money, 10%, then you chop the balance 90%. You never believe. You never believe. When you believe, go back to your boss and say, sir, I don't need the money. Here it is. I don't say you believe that time. This one they do not demo. I'm telling you, you are paying protection money. Let the devourer come to get me. I don't believe a word of it. I'm sorry. Please, oh, please. I hope you are not offended. It's very popular. People do it the other way. I'm going somewhere. Why did Abraham do what he did? I don't want to talk in depth about it with Melchizedek. You see that there was something about Abraham. Oh, no. So people are asking questions. Ah, so what about Melchizedek? Look, go and read it. That was their way of honoring anybody they met at that time. You know, that was just the way they did it. Jacob did it. It was a culture. Is that all right? And it was okay. It's good. Very, very beautiful. And things like that should still be practiced. All right? Now, I mean, there are things that are good in societies. For example, if you wed, you get gifts. It's a good thing. All right? There's a new one I'm trying to teach people. You know, one time we wed, we get gifts. People, in fact, you know, there are gifts. I wedded 13 years plus 3 months ago. I still have gifts. Till now, that is, it's just that I don't even know it's there. So anyone want to pack from one house to the other, I say, oh, this was a wedding gift. I'm not kidding. Some of them unwrapped till now. You just don't remember. You know, it's not as if you come examine, you want it, I'll give it to you. It's a good gift, a culture. There's another culture which we should change. If your friend buys a car, stop telling him to come and wash it. It's a bad culture. The good culture is that your friend buys a car, say, oh boy, you bought a car. Dip your hand in your pocket, fill the tank for him once. If we all do that, you know, all of us will be buying a car every day. And that's good. Is that not good? You hear that your friend laid foundation, is building a house, go there and say, oh boy, you try. I don't have too much money, just 2 trips of sand. How much is it? Give him money for 2 trips of sand. I don't have too much money, please, 1 ton of cement. It's a very good culture, all right? So that's how it is. There are some cultures that are very good. But this is what I'm making. Why did Abraham do what he did? That's my emphasis here. It's simple. Because God had revealed himself to him as the all-sufficient God. Many people are still trying to do what Abraham did. They don't know God as the all-sufficient God. They still are relating with God as a God that we must not offend. And there's a side of God to that. There's a side of God like that. There's a side of God in which be afraid of him. There's a side of him in which you know it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's called the side of the consuming fire. There is a side of God that consumes. It consumes his enemies and children that misbehave. You understand my point? There is a side of God to that, all right? And like that, there is, all right? But what Abraham knew was God, the all-sufficient God. So he never held on to anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? He never held on to anything tightly. So much that when God asked for Isaac, he was so used to it, he let Isaac go. Many people are trying to copy Abraham's acts. They don't have the understanding of the all-sufficient God. If anything, they are relating with God like, let's pay him small. You know, they have the all-kalo-kalo God. You put something in, something comes out. And we start preaching funny doctrines like nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. Because we don't have the revelation of the all-sufficient God. When Abraham did what he did, it was because of what he knew. This God is all-sufficient. How do I know? Because he said to the king of Sodom, lest you say, I made Abraham rich. That he will be rich. That he was already rich and he knew the source of it. That was sure. He said, if I take you, your stuff now. You say, Abraham was nothing until he took my stuff that he conquered in battle. So take, so that you will know that my prosperity, my blessing is coming only from the all-sufficient God. So God said to Moses, he understood me by that name. Please, I hope I get my point. Now, I'm not going to tell you about the names of God here. That's in this context. I just want to introduce what I'm preaching. So he said, by that name, they knew me. But there's a new name I want you to understand. And he said, what is that new name? Jehovah. Now, people have explained what that means, and I really don't know the details of it. But one thing from many things I read is simple. That I want you to understand that if I made a promise 2,000 years ago, I haven't forgotten. I'll still fulfill it. That's one side to God. The God that does not forget and that fulfills his covenants, that fulfills his promises. That is the summary of that name, Jehovah. Are you getting my point? So when he came to the children of Israel, it was God, that's Jehovah now, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That is, there's a side of God that made a covenant with people generations ago, and he has come today to fulfill that covenant he made with those people that time. Because they understood that he was all-sufficient. But why should he dig us out of this place? Now, you must understand that. If all they knew was that God was all-sufficient, then they will prosper, but in Egypt. I don't know whether you hear what I said. If the only revelation they had was that God was all-sufficient, they will prosper, but in Egypt. So God said, came to introduce himself, said, let me tell you another side to me. I know I can do all things. I can provide anything. I can make Abraham rich. Isaac can sow in the land of famine and the same year reap a hundredfold. You understand? I can convert all the goods of Laban into the hands of Jacob. I can do that. But that was generations ago. And I've not done that in a long time. And you have been in bondage and you are crying. Are you getting my point? I need you to understand another part of me. And what is that part? That if I make a covenant and I make a promise to a man, I never forget. In due season, I will show up and I will fulfill my covenant. And this time around, I have come to fulfill my covenant. What's the covenant? I promise your fathers a land. I hope you are getting my point. In fulfillment of that promise to your fathers, I have come today to take you out. Once they could believe that, they were on their way to the promised land. Listen, until God shows you the kind of person he is, you will not experience his power in that area. That's why God always introduces himself. And I said, a name is not somebody baptized in one day. It's a description for his character. It's a description for his personality as regarding a particular situation. If I read somewhere, somebody was talking about the name of God. Let me read that for you. He said, the name of God signifies in general. When he said the name of God, in general, he says, he's describing the whole nature of God by which he attests his personal presence in the relation into which he has entered with man. The divine self-manifestation or the whole of that revealed side of the divine nature which is turned towards man. Let me read it again. That's big English. Actually, where I copied it from, you don't want to read the rest of their English. It scares me, actually. This is actually so simple because they were quoting somebody. But let me read it again. Okay, I'll try and put my own words to make it simple as I'm going on. He was trying to describe the different meanings of the name of God. If you say something is the name of God. There's one, he said, the nature of God by which he attests his personal presence. Another one, he said, the name of God is the divine self-manifestation. Or, another one, the whole of that revealed side of the divine nature, which is turned towards man. That is, what is the name of God? How you see God. That's his name. And that's why God always introduces himself. He will say, I am God. I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. I don't know whether you hear that. That is a name. The only people that give names like God does that I know on this earth, you know, like God gives himself, are the American Native Indians. The American Native Indians, they don't have names like Kunle. You know, if you know, Yorubas even try. They write names plenty. The only person where I know they try is Mona Olayinka. Name can long. Like his son's name, Obabi Olorunkosi. That's one name. It's a sentence, a statement, it's a paragraph, actually. The only people that give me anyway, I'll just say, like God gives himself at the American Indians. Their names are sentences. I remember I read one novel, one of those Western novels, you know, the cowboy and Indian, that kind of thing. And one fellow, his name was Kills from Far Off. The guy was a sniper, sharpshooter, could kill you from 500 meters. So his name, when I discussed, okay, so where is Kills from Far Off? That's his name. That's how God describes himself too. He describes himself according to the revealed side of the divine nature, which is turned towards you. That's his name. And that's why Max Moore explained like this, that when God said to Moses, say to them, my name is I Am, he said it was the beginning of a sentence that fill it in as you get into different situations in life. Do you get the point? And I want you to understand something. The striving of the life of a believer. Listen, the whole of the striving of your life must be that I may know him. That's all. Once I know him in that area, I experience the power of his resurrection. I pray you understand that. Listen, there is no situation in life that God has not described his name. And what is his name? Simply, read the scriptures and find out what he says about those situations. I said to you before that we'll talk about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Every time you enter into a kind of suffering, you will discover the face of God and you step into the glory that follows. The striving, listen, before I talk about the striving of your life, the reason why God put you in every situation, you know, I said before, your life is supposed to describe God. And every situation you find yourself in, God wants you to discover his name, or using this man's expression, to see his face from that angle. God has many faces. His personality is multifaceted. You see him depending on where you are lying. Are you getting what I'm saying? The man who fell down completely, there's a part of God he's seen that the one who's chopping life can never see. He can read about it in books, so. But he will never understand it until he lies down by himself, allows life to knock him down. Then while he's on the floor, he looks up. He sees one part of God. Hey. Listen. There's a part of God you will never see. That only Jesus Christ has ever seen. No matter how much we try and pray and die, yeah, until you mount that cross, you won't see it. That's why they came and said, can we come and sit on your left and on your right? He said, hey, guys, before you sit anywhere, you must take some visions. Before you see visions, you must be in certain places because there are angles of reflection. So he said, can you take, can you drink the cup and the baptism? He said, yeah. He said, okay, fine. You're welcome. What am I saying? Therefore, you are privileged. Therefore, you are what? Privileged. Sometimes I see, you know, Christians, let me tell you, you must, listen. Christianity, I said last time, was it on Tuesday or on Saturday I said it? Like you can hear the word of God, all right? But a point comes in which it makes a demand. All the messages you have been hearing, it will make a demand of you one day. What am I trying to say? As believers, the word has entered into us, will mark us different when we have to make decisions. Are you getting what I'm saying? The way we handle life, there is something that must show that we believe, that I'll be like this. The way we handle life, our attitude, our decisions, our reactions must show that we believe something.
you can't, you know, the word spirit, that word spirit, the use in the scriptures is enough to study for a whole year. But what I want to bring up from it again is the fact that when you talk about the spirit of Christ, there is a tangible spirit of Christ, but when it enters into a man, enters into a woman, what is describing, when you say that this, as many as are led by the spirit of God, people, we often used to hear those, they say that it means that the spirit of God will lead you. When you want to do something, you pray, Eshka, Baba, halala, oh Lord, what do I do? And the spirit of God will speak to you. Now listen to me, the spirit of God speaks to people. The Holy Spirit speaks to people. God sends angels to speak to people. But that was not what Paul was saying when he made that statement. When he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what he said is this. That word spirit describes your visions in life. The propelling force that's pushing you either to the left or to the right. Are you getting my point? The thing that's making you do what you are doing. Why are you sleeping when you are sleeping? Why do you spend money the way you do? Why do you walk the way you walk? Why do you travel when you travel? What's the general guiding force about your life? That's what they call spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, those ones are the sons of God. Not the ones that God whispers to. The ones that every decision they make in life is dictated by the drinking of the Spirit of God. That's what they mean. I'm going to something, all of these things. As Christians, therefore, if you are doing business as an example, very good example, one thing is clear, you are not doing business because of money. You are not. Money is one of your tools of business. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Very good example. You are not doing business because of money. What is money? One of your tools of business. I'm not saying you go to business and be throwing away money. I didn't say that. You know, Christians can be very, very foolish. They hear half-truth. They go and say, praise God. I'm not doing business because of money. Take my money, you can go. Take the whole world and give me Jesus Christ. Then the shop closed down after 2 weeks. He says, I'm suffering for Christ. No, that's suffering for foolishness. Everybody must suffer for something, amen? Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. We're talking about spirit. Just to add this one to it before I leave, we discussed it before. Christians, one of the major reasons we do business is to establish righteousness. To do what? Let me give an example. I was discussing with somebody today. I was telling Ife here that, listen, something led to it. I said, most watches people buy around, they are fake. And they don't know. That's the sad side. Man goes to the market. In fact, she told me that she bought a Cartier. And it lasted for three months and stopped working. And I was very, very angry. You were angry. I said, how much did you buy it? You 2.5 or 3.5. I said, they sold you a Cartier for 3.5. Either you are a thief, or the person who sold this is a thief, or all of you are confused. Watches that go for 200,000 naira, they sold it for you for 2.5, and you want it to last for eternity. Now, I'm looking at something here. We're not discussing, why do people behave like that? I'll tell you. Because they are in business for money. They want to collect your money. One day I went to buy a watch for my wife. Beautiful watch. The man said, what? I said, oh, they wrote on it, Piguet. Those of you know, class 10, you know, vintage watches, you know, ancient Swiss watches, all those people that make, what they call those expensive watches anyway. One of them is called Audemars Piguet. So the guy said, it's a real one. I said, real Audemars Piguet on the roadside? No problem. How much is it? I finally bought it for 2,000 naira. Listen, Audemars Piguets go for $200,000 a piece. And I knew. So when they buy it for 2,000 naira, I look at the guy and say, oh boy, it's not real. He said, well, I said, look, listen, don't insult yourself, don't insult me. It cannot be real. And if by chance it's real, I don't want to buy it. Before police comes to my house, you're under arrest for accepting stolen property. Now, I'm going to just use an illustration, all right? Why do people do such things? They want to make money. What do I mean by establishing righteousness? You sell watches, anybody comes to you, and they say, this is a Rolex. they don't have to check. They know you said it. It must be real. A good name is better than the profit you make from doing business. See what, how you see the way Christians reason? That's what I call establishing righteousness. Please, I don't want to go into that. I'll get caught in that. I just want to use that to explain something. That the way Christians do things, very different. Very different. Oh, let me talk about it again. You know, it's there. Marriage as an example also. We don't marry as Christians because, I'm a man now, right? Now, to give the woman's side again in a moment. As men, we don't marry and say, yes, I have bought a car. I have built a house. There's one piece of furniture that's missing. We don't marry because we want to have children to inherit the chieftaincy title that we inherited from a confused grandfather. If I don't have a son, the chieftaincy title will enter into the lineage of my brother. My brother, you can have it with all the curses, all the problems. You're on your own. In fact, I don't want the chieftaincy title unless they change it to something Jesus inside and they give it in church. Yes. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because sometimes you hear Christians talk. They still push for, I want to have a son. I want to have a daughter for worldly reasons. We are not allowed to do that. That's why we don't say, where is she from? Where is he from? That's their village. Is that not the place where they say we shouldn't marry from? We don't do those things. Because our own spirit, you see, I'm explaining the word spirit now, is very different. I don't say as a woman, yes, I'm going to marry a man that can take care of me. Like I say all the time, are you a problem? Are you a project in life? A man was born to come and be solving you. And then you see a woman talk like that, slap her for her own sake. So you're my friend, though. They just say, I should slap you to wake you up. You must be sleeping as a believer. In fact, if you are chasing a woman, brothers, say amen. All you single guys. Say, me, I'm looking for a man that can take care of me. Say, sorry, I'm sorry. I can't take care of you, actually. I wanted to marry you. I wasn't planning to take care of you. So this is persecution. And if you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. It's a scripture. I wake up in the morning, say, they gave me a project to be solved. Is my life not better if I was single? Making demands. You know, I teach my students what I call high output heart failure. I teach pathologies. I teach cardiovascular pathologies in most of the classes I teach. When I'm teaching heart failure, I tell them about high output heart failure. I know how I explain it. I said, there's what they call high output husband failure also. What is high output husband failure? The man is working hard. God is blessing him. But the wife has decided that she knows they wear anything that's not pure gold. Listen, there's one of three things. Either you wear something that's not pure gold, or you wear the one that's pure gold, or you wear nothing at all. Anyone you can afford of the three. Hey. And the one that's easiest to afford is wear nothing at all. Hey. I can imagine a man using a whole salary just to buy a new necklace. You know when poverty is begging to manifest. So please, can I come to your house? I can see people don't know how to use money. A whole month's salary. Because your wife wants to go to church feeling confused like everybody else on the... What is that you're carrying? Is that a Toshiba Thrive or a Samsung Galaxy? Yes, my husband, the guy can't afford. He's paying small on a Galaxy Note. Should know when poverty is saying, can I be your friend? You get spare room for your house. I'll just only come back in the morning. Collect all your breakfast. You can chop dinner for a while. That's how it manifests. And you marry a woman who's looking for who would take care of her. Any woman tells them, say, are you a problem? They should solve you. Are you a mathematical equation that you know? Oh, God, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. It's a person, why should the woman marry? Simple now. Does a man have vision? Does he have where he's going? Go and listen to my message, how to find true love. Draw me unto you. Let us run together. If I can't run with you, why should I marry you? You should be somebody I can run with.
Together we see problems, we knock it down. Together we see challenges, we kill them. Now I'm explaining the word spirit. Now I've gone such a long extent into that. Let me just try and get back. You know, I was supposed to start for 1 minute too. But now 10 minutes has passed on that. Ah, the Lord is good. God will help me. I hope you are praying for me. Now this is what I'm trying to make. So you see, our spirit is different in everything we do. Why we start our businesses, why we marry, where we live, why we live in the country where we live in. Now, back to why I went to do that. I said, everywhere we are in life, there is a side of God that can only be seen from that angle. Are you getting my point? There is a side of God that can only be seen from the angle where you are seated or lying down or you are standing currently. And instead of running away from there to go to Belgium, for example, you are in Nigeria, things are rough. Say, listen, this is how you pray. You say, Lord, what side of you will I see from having left university 4 years ago, finished NYC 3 years ago, and not having a job currently? What side of you will I see? Or do I need to see so I can manifest your glory? That's a prayer. Because God's name is a description for his manifested power. God's name has to be proclaimed in all the earth. You cannot proclaim that which you do not know. You cannot proclaim the God that Bishop Oyedepo understands. You cannot proclaim the God. You see, you know, those are echoes. Those are not proclamations. You can't proclaim the name of God that you personally have not experienced. And you can never experience God so as to proclaim his name until you are in a particular situation and from there you look up. What people do is from there they run. Are you getting my point? What people do, listen, as believers, as Christians, your duty in life, you wake up every day, say, God, I want to know you. Give me an understanding of your name. As you discover God's face, his grace is manifested. It takes you from where you are to where you are supposed to be. If you run away, let's read this. I close with it. My time is almost gone. Isaiah chapter, I think 33. No, sorry, Isaiah chapter 50. Sorry, mixing two things up. I just want to read the verse 11, but we'd like to take a few verses before that just to get it in context. Say, behold, verse 9, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns him? Behold, they will all wear like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who, now, notice verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Notice that. He's walking in darkness. That is, things are not moving. Things are not working out the way they are supposed to work out. He said, what should he do? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire. Now notice this. Instead of people staying where they are and from that position looking up to the face of God, that God may give them an understanding of his name, that God may give them a revelation of his face, they don't do that. What do they do? Verse 11, he said, behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. What it means is this. Instead of walking in darkness, your own fire that you kindled will give you light. He said, but what will happen at the end? This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Listen, as believers, every situation in life, from that position, we look up. What did I say? From that position, what do? We look up. I say all the time that this is one thing Christians have, the ability to pray. There is something that God wants to show you
from that position that if you see, you will never have that kind of problem again in life that you can't solve. You know, there's something, Pastor, what you said once, which is so beautiful. You've been, you know, many churches you go to, you watch TV and all of that. They're always begging for money. Now, is it right to beg for money? Yes, now, if you are broke, the Lord is good. It's not a sin, all right, as I'm trying to say. Not a bad thing. You watch TV, you don't send us money, we're going to die by next week. So, please, if you love us, you don't want us to die, rush money in quickly. This is the work of God. Money has to come. People do that. Some is good. I see, talk to the man of God today. We discussed it. There are some things that are bad. But generally, talking about money is not a problem. But Pastor Paul, you never talks about money. I used to attend the church. My friends still go there. They're in Lagos. Watch him on TV. You've never heard him ask for 1 naira. Never. Ever. Ever. Now, is it good or bad? That's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing is how he got to that point. One day he wanted to pay church rent. That's the point. And there was no money. And he prayed, and God gave him an understanding. Now, in the midst of no money, he swore that he will never ask anybody for money. Never discuss. He doesn't even broach the subject. And since that time, he has never had a problem when it comes to money and ministry. So he said that he doesn't ask for money because he has plenty. No, he has plenty because he had the revelation that he would never have to ask. And God ensures that that thing will never fail. If you know how much he pays silver bird alone, you'll be afraid. Or when it's anytime they are doing a major program now in Lagos, if you know how much it costs to run that program. I learned some things from him, and he learned some things from Bishop Oyedepo. There are some things we learned from some people, Kenneth Hagin and Co. Some of those programs, before they start, everything has been paid. If the money is not complete, they are not even starting. So that's why you are giving offering there. It's good for you. It's for your sake. You get my point. It's for your sake. You know, some boys went to visit Bishop Oyedepo once. I know revelation is good. Tell your neighbor, it's good. Some people can sit down and be criticizing people from afar. Why is he driving the private jet? You know your problem, you don't have money. People will sit in their, don't let me insult you. They sit with their heritage and background of poverty and be criticizing those that God has blessed. Has he ever come to beg you for money? He says it every time he flies abroad. It costs to fly that plane abroad once, costs other people that same money to build a duplex. But he has it. You know, I don't want to go into that. I don't have a private jet. I'm not planning to buy one. God blesses me with one now. I'll say, thank you very much. Park it. Not here, because if you park it here, I have to pay to FAN to keep it parked. So park it on Jupiter. Because some things now, wahala. You know, if you buy a car now, you're happy. It's your own. It's in your house. If you buy a plane, you have to be paying to park it. I don't want trouble. But one thing, however, is that if a man is blessed, he's blessed. I will never use my mouth to talk nonsense, lest I cut short my own blessing. Bishop, I wanted to give you a gist, then we'll close. God, we learned a lot from all of these small, small things. So one day I was in his house. Somebody told me the story. Some young men, one of the people that went there, telling the story, they came to greet him. This at this bishop's house. It was those days, you know. And they stopped by to greet him. So when before they entered, they went to the market, bought some things, you know, bought maybe like bread, yam, you know, things, anything. And good morning, sir. So when they got to the house, so when the man came down, he said, oh, I heard that you people brought me some things. They said, yes, sir. No, he doesn't say thank you, you know, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't say thank you. Dash him something, he doesn't tell you thank you. It's his own law. He says it's an arrangement. When I preach to you, did you say thank you? I preach, you dash me something. It's an arrangement. So do your job, I do my own. No, Bishop, unless it changed the last 10 years. But since that time, I don't know. No, tell nobody thank you. So he said, instead of telling the boy thank you, you know what he said? He said, you are very wise.
Yes. He said, you are very wise. He told the story of once he went to a ministerial meeting, something like that. They met for a number of days. They stayed in hotels. So the last day, as we were closing the meeting, he said, oh, please, all you ministers, please, if you stay in these hotels, please just take your bags, just go. Don't worry about checking out and paying your bills. It's been, it's all of this. I clap. Woo! He said, look, hi, foolish people. I just collected all the blessings. And they are there clapping. The Lord is good. Now, why did I go to that discussion? Now, I wanted to just say a story that. So, if you go to a place like that program, what's it called? Wafbeck, right? And you give an offering, it's for your own sake. You are, because, all right, every act of righteousness has a blessing. We just don't know the blessing and we don't make a demand of those blessings. We only make our demands based upon the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? We need to clarify that, all right? I'm just trying to say something, all right? I know this is my talk. Men enter into realms because of the face of God that they saw. They enter into realms because of understanding. They do. Bishop, Pastor Kweda, I was telling you about, he saw that part of God when he was broke. Sometimes you need a job. You have an uncle who's connected. There's a time that because of the revelation of God, you say, I won't call him. Because if I call him now, I'll call him tomorrow. Anytime I need something, I'll have to call. Lord, I want to break the cycle of calling. And then there's something. God can keep you there for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. And Satan will say, let me just lend you my phone. I know you don't have credit. And you know how Satan comes? It's your friend. Your uncle is a minister. Take. Say, no. Is calling wrong? No. But for you, at that point, we are breaking something. We are breaking the dependence upon human beings. We are breaking dependence upon human connections. We are saying that if God doesn't give it to us, we won't take it. So for you at that point in time, calling somebody is a problem. What am I saying? From where you are lying down, there is a face of God you will see that if you see, anybody who pushes you down only springs you up to a higher level after that. There's a way you will understand God that after now, poverty will never be your problem. If stock market goes down, it is so that they can convert all the stock to your own. That is, if they say dollar is changing value, it's so that the value of your own dollar can in the naira can increase. If you say naira is changing value, it's so that your own Japanese yen that you have can increase. Whatever it is, whatever be the affliction that afflicts mankind, it will be that you will never understand the pain. Why? Because there was a time you were in a particular situation, and from that angle, you saw the face of God. Let me summarize my message today. Listen. All God is doing, I didn't mention that, but this is the point. All God is trying to do in your life and in man's life is that he's taking us through experiences. Like now, this is an experience. You are here. It's an experience. Tomorrow, you'll be somewhere. It's an experience. On Monday, you go to work. It's an experience. He's taking you through all these experiences so that through them, you will discover his face better. You will discover different angles of him. And the more you see God's face, the more you are transformed. For example, fear did not exist in the heart of Elisha. You know Elisha? You know Elijah? Elijah heard Jezebel looking for him. You know the guy pens. The man began run. No, not Elisha. When they sent a whole army, a whole detachment of soldiers to come and look for him, you know, he didn't move. Why? There is a part of God he had discovered that brother Elijah did not know. The fear of tomorrow will die from your life. That here, amen. Listen, let me just explain something to you again, please. I don't know why it's so strong in my heart. Stop laboring to have tomorrow secure. You have invested, it did not work. You have given, and I have spoiled your faith in your giving. Somebody say, give so that tomorrow will be secure. Now I have told you now it doesn't guarantee anything. You know the message for tonight? Stop worrying. What did I say? Stop worrying. Just discover God. And what he says is that, listen, come near to me.
let's talk. Pray that I will give you understanding. Once you discover, all right, the hold that I have on your tomorrow, you will sleep very well, not being bothered about tomorrow. Many people who are broke today, you know what's killing them? The fear of tomorrow. They have enough money today to pay rent. They have enough money today to eat. They have enough money to help that their cousin go to school seamlessly. They have enough money to be generous towards the work of God. They have enough money for all these things. But the fear of what will happen in 6 years' time is what is making them stingy towards their family, themselves. See the broad shirt, he can buy 10, but he doesn't want to change this one. He's stingy towards himself because of tomorrow. He's stingy towards the work of the ministry because of tomorrow. But you know, such a person, you help him discover the face of God. He will go home, they say, bro has changed. Yes, it's called beholding as in the mirror, being transformed from one level of glory to another. Once he discovers the face of God, the God that holds tomorrow in his hands, the guy comes back home, they say, this fellow has changed. Why is he? What happened to my husband? He has changed. Normally, if I ask him for this kind of thing, hey, Ushan, do you think I make money? Eh? What do you think I'm making? You think I'm going to working so that I can buy a blouse? Eh? Well, you didn't buy a blouse yesterday. You hear a man shouting sometimes. Something else is disturbing him. Then now, I tell him, I would like this gown. He say, why don't you take 3 of them? Say, my husband, what did you say? Say, my husband, I'm sure you have not started drinking. Say, no, I'm not drinking. I think if the blue one will fit you, the red one will fit you better. Yeah, just take that lilac one to add to it, just in case. It's called transformation. What did I call it? How does it come? By beholding the face of God. I hope I've explained something today.